Good morning, one and all. It is good to be together. We've got several guests, and we are certainly thankful for your presence. Looking forward to a busy morning and early afternoon here. Encourage everyone to grab an order of worship each week as you come in. On the front, the actual order of worship, and a space where you can take some notes. On the back, several announcements, and I do want to just highlight a few things. First of all, there's an area-wide tonight, and that's going to be at Bear Wallow, and that is going to be featuring our own Eric Yao. So he will be speaking there, so do make note of that. And in conjunction with that, the Musenik's Life Group will not be meeting tonight because of that area-wide. Wedding shower is going to be next week. Take a note for that, for the Russell Langley wedding, and that's from 2 to 3. We're also taking registration for the Park Preschool Men's Retreat and still signing up for that. You'll hear more about that next week, but it's April 4th and 5th, so make a note of that particular item as well. The Harding Chorus is going to be singing next Sunday night at 5 o'clock at Bellevue Church of Christ in Nashville or in Bellevue, and Dr. McLarty will be speaking during the worship at 6 o'clock. If you're interested, you can please see Joel Ragland. In the meantime, if you'd like to hear a chorus singing and hear the president speak, you can stay right here. We've got the Clarksville Christian School High School Concert Choir. Did I get that right? They are here, and Matthew Johnson is going to be directing them, and we are just looking forward to hearing them sing for us. They will be singing following a potluck, which is going to be right next door, and I'll have more to say about that toward the end of the service. But we're looking forward to that. There's plenty of food, so I hope you'll stay for the potluck, and then the chorus will immediately follow that potluck. No particular announced time. We'll just, once it starts winding down, we'll tell you they're getting ready to sing at whatever time it might be. And that will be preceded by a lesson this hour from Brad Moser, who is the president at Clarksville Christian School. We'll have more to say about Brad in just a few moments. Let me mention concerning the potluck too, if you can help during the kitchen, you can leave as we're getting ready for family matters, and we could also use some help cleaning up. I got one of these quilt squares, and we're trying to put together a square quilt for the Langs and for the Lancasters. And here's what we'd like you to do, is just write something on this square in your own handwriting. And the worse your handwriting is, the better. That gives character to the quilt. So don't think my handwriting is not good enough. It doesn't matter. You can write one word. You can write a Bible verse. You can write the Sermon on the Mount if you've got really tiny handwriting. Whatever it is you want to write, a song title, a song verse, something, just a prayer coming from you. And we've got squares, and right now they're going to be today over in the Welcome Center area. And when we're dismissed, you can see Diana MacArthur. You can see Shalane Kaiser. Raise your hand, Shalane, right there. And they will be glad to give you these squares and give you your very special pens. That's right. We got special pens for you to write on. So grab one of those and help if you possibly can. You might even take care of that during the lunch hour. As we move into our time of worship, let's just lift up praise to God, and we're going to be doing that in song. Before we do that, we will lift up praise from the Psalms, from one psalm in particular, several verses from Psalm 145. And as we come to the words on the screen that are bold and underlined, we'd like for the whole church to say those words. Right now, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. So let's lift our voices in song. Very quickly, for those who are watching over our Facebook stream, that the next person you see up here will be Brad Mosier. He is the president of the Clarksville Christian School. He's here with his wife, Thea, and their daughter, Avery. They also have a son, Lance. And Brad was formerly at the Mount Dora Christian School in Florida and is now with us in Clarksville. And Brad, looking forward to your lesson.
All right, thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. I am so delighted to be here today. And, you know, I was looking, and there's only 52 Sundays in any typical year. Sometimes there's 53, but there's only 52 in most years, including this one. And the fact that you would give up one of those to allow me to speak here is truly an honor. And so I'm going to make the most of our time. I have been up, my family and I, in Clarksville for about a year and a half, and it's so hard to believe. In some ways, time has just really flown by, and it seems like it's just gone by in a blink. In other ways, it seems like we've been here forever, but regardless, Clarksville is home. And, you know, I was talking with Jeffrey just before the service. You know, we've been here just for a minute, and Jeffrey was sharing with me that he has been here as part of this congregation for 33 years. So the good news, though, is that now that probationary period is kind of expired, he said he thinks he's going to stick around for a while now that he's, you know, that the tryout has gone fairly well. But as Jeffrey mentioned, I came from Mount Dora Christian Academy in Central Florida for the immediate 5 years prior to coming up to Clarksville. You may know that. What you may not know is that several members of this congregation and local congregations were supportive of our ministry down there, the Christian School and Children's Home. And so you were a blessing in my life before we ever had the opportunity to meet. And that just says so much about you and your hearts. Before we ever moved to Clarksville, one of the things that we looked into and one of the things we heard so much about was just the strong church family that there was in this area. That was very important to us. And when we heard about Trenton Crossing, one of the things we consistently heard is that this is not just a group that is focused inwardly on the family here, but that you do reach out beside these walls, anywhere and everywhere that you can, to be a blessing in the lives of other people. And so I know most certainly you've been a blessing to me, like I said, even before I met you, and you've certainly been a blessing to Clarksville Christian School. So many of our families who are here at Trenton Crossing have kids in our school. We have staff members and faculty members, and in a variety of ways, you have just been so supportive. And so for that, would you let me take just a moment to say thank you? Thank you so much for your love for God and His children. Thank you so much that you are not just hearers of the Word, but you are doers of the Word in every regard. And so, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the concept of being fellow laborers together. And even though our avenue of ministry is slightly different, the mission is the same, isn't it? And that's to impact the hearts and lives of people for the Lord and to bring as many people in contact with Him and relationship with Him that we possibly can. And if you have not been to Clarksville Christian School in a while, can I just invite you to come? I mean, family doesn't really need an invitation, but we would love for you to come out and just visit with us. Come see the school. Come to one of our sporting events or a theater event, a play or a concert. We would love for you to be our guests. And this is a great day. It's already a great day, isn't it? I mean, just the singing and the scripture reading alone has already been so uplifting. But one thing, I mean, this has got all the makings of just a great, great day. A time of worship together, and following worship, it gets even better. We have food together, fellowship, and our choir is certainly looking forward to being here with you today. I mean, so when you've got food, fellowship, and all of those things, it can only go up from there and go in a good direction. But Jeffrey did tell me before I started that I only have 2 or 3 hours this morning to share with you, so I want to get right to our point if we can. And Denise, I think I'm working here. If not, okay, Denise said if my clicker didn't work, that I just needed to do a sound effect. All right, how's that? Was that me or you? Okay. Well, I'm just going to... All right. There we go. So one thing, we're going to talk just a little bit this morning about some of the challenges and opportunities that we have as parents, grandparents, mentors, and as a church here in our country today. We're going to take a look at that here in just a few moments. But one of the things before I get started, I just want to say, I absolutely love hearing the sound of kids here in a worship service. I get very, very nervous when I go somewhere and speak or visit, and I don't hear some crying babies or some kids asking their parents questions and talking a little bit. If that noise is not there, I get very, very alarmed. That is a symphony, folks. It is an absolute, it's a joy. It should be welcome to your ears, and I know it certainly is. To the ears of God, because our young people are not only the church of the future, they're the church of today. And so a church where you've got children is a healthy beginning. And so, but one of the things with our kids today, though, is it's really an astonishing dichotomy that exists for young men and women today. On one hand, there are so many advances in medical technology, just the things that they have. We've come such a long way. I mean, this is the group for which we created safety helmets for bicycles and safety seals on medicine. I was talking with somebody the other day. I remember when I was a kid, I was on an antibiotic. And I sometimes like to just get things done. I don't like to sit and talk about it. I like to take action. And I remember, walking to the refrigerator and just finding my antibiotic and taking the whole bottle of it and going and telling my mom, "Hey, Mom, guess what? I'm going to get better a whole lot faster because I just went ahead and, we don't need to do this two times a day bit. I'm going to get really healthy really, really, really soon." So it's kids like me that that warranted the invention of safety seals and things like that. And so, but on one hand, where we've come so far, on the other, this generation, I think, is subject to far greater pressures than I experienced or that many of us did when we were growing up. And we're going to talk about a few stats today here that you may or may not find surprising. Okay, yep, this is the generation right here. All right. So I'm just going to kind of give you one of those right there. How's that? Okay. So let's take a look. Yep. Look at that. It's magic. Okay, as of 2017, these are just some church attendance stats across all faith groups. A few differences than you may have experienced when you were growing up versus what our kids experience today. Okay, 10%. This is a 2017 massive survey that was done, massive research. As of 2017, 10% of the respondents to this survey reported that they do not, nor have they ever, attended church services. 33% said that they were active at one time but are no longer active in church. 8% said that they attend infrequently. And only about half, 49%, just under, said that they attended church at least one time per month. At that rate, by 2050, the percentage of people attending services in the U.S. will be less than half of what it was in 1990. And at present pace, by 2050, only about 11.7% of the population will be connected to a church family across all traditional Christian faith groups. And so the news just keeps getting better. It's also been found that at present day, somewhere between 60 and 90% of young women and young men are walking away from their faith by their senior year of high school or freshman year of college. Do you believe that stat, or do you find it just totally surprising? As sad as it is, those are the numbers. And that 60 to 90% walking away, those aren't just fringe kids. Those aren't people who have been on the periphery. These are kids who've gone to your area-wides and who've come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. These are people who've gone to Bible camp and who have done all kinds of things through traditional youth ministry. And yet, those are the numbers. If you want to talk more to me about some personal research that I have done in different congregations, I'd be happy to share with you. But that is an alarming stat. And so, with that, I thank you for letting me share today. And have a wonderful afternoon. And we'll... No, there's more. Because here's the thing. I think that there's something we can do about this. And that's what I really want to focus on today, is in a changing world where things seem like they're going a million miles an hour, with all of our technology, with all of our advancements, life just seems to be getting more and more full. And with that, though, one of the great things is those styles and times may change. God's word remains the same. It's a constant, it's a steady, and there is something we can do about it. So we're going to go this morning to Proverbs 22:6. It's a familiar passage to you, and we're going to just break that apart in the next few minutes that we have here. So train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. All right, that first word, train up a child. We could stop on the first word alone, and that would make a sermon. But of all the things we could do or say about the concept of training, training is an action verb. It requires participation from numerous parties. And I just want to pause here for one quick moment, if I can, and say, before we go any further, these next few items that we share, this isn't just for parents. It's for parents, but not just for parents alone. There are many grandparents and other relatives who are helping raise young people today. But even if you don't have kids, or if you don't have kids any longer at home, this message is for you. Because if you are a member of God's family, you've got a responsibility for helping raise God's family. And finally, kids, this isn't just for adults. Any situation involving teaching and learning involves your participation too. And so, there are a few different kinds. I coached for several years, and there are a few different kinds of athletes. There are some who just come ready to participate. Some you have to prod along. Some you have to pull along. But regardless, it's more than just one person can do. And so this is for you as well. But on the notion of training, it does take effort. And sometimes with that effort, it can be painful at times. What's that old saying? No pain. Or one of my favorites as a parent, this is gonna hurt me. Right? So this is especially true maybe of my daughter Avery. I'm gonna pick on her. She's sitting over here. But my son Lance, he lives over in Searcy. I'll be seeing him later today when I head over there. And he's just Mr. Laid Back. He came into this world laid back. Thea and I thought that we were absolutely bona fide parenting geniuses because he made it so easy on us. We thought it was us. And so, we were ready to write our book on parenting, and we could not understand why in the world other people didn't have their act together as much as we did. Not so much the case with my daughter, Avery. You might look at her today. She's a junior at CCS, and she seems like a fairly well-put-together young lady, and she does have her act together. But I want you to know, it's by the grace of God, okay? when she was little, she was that kid that gave us a run for the money. Whether she was cutting her own hair and giving herself, this one time she gave herself a beautiful mullet. And whether she was cutting her own hair or cutting someone else's hair, trying to catch the kitchen on fire, or maybe one of my favorites, the time she painted the carpet in her bedroom. You heard me right. She decided she wanted it to be a different color, and so she painted away. But whether she was getting into one kind of mischief or another, parenting Avery was, to say the least, a bit challenging. We knew, though, that as painful as it might have been for her, it was probably more painful for us, but that we had a job to do, and it required a lot of patience. I heard a story not too long ago about a lady who was in a grocery store, and she saw this man pushing along a grocery cart, and the kid was screaming and wailing and throwing all kinds of fits, and she heard the man saying, "It's going to be okay, Stephen. Stephen, you just hang in there. Just calm down. Life's going to be just fine. We'll get out of here. This is going to pass, Stephen. Just take a breath. Take it easy. And the lady walked over to the man and she said, can I just tell you, Stephen, or can I just tell you, sir, that I really appreciate the words you're saying to little Stephen there. She said, that's so nice that with him throwing a temper tantrum, that you are calm, cool, and collected and have your act together as a parent. I just want to commend you. And he said, oh, that's not Stephen. I'm Stephen. That's Bobby. Okay? I'm talking to me here. We had a lot of those conversations with Avery growing up, and maybe you know what I'm talking about with the differences in your children. But here's what I want to say about pain, though. There is the pain of correction and teaching our children right from wrong. But as much as anything else, I think the Bible also talks about the kind of pain that leads to growth. Hebrews 12 tells us, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, or disciplines, as some translations say, and scourges every son whom he receives. You know, think about this. Without some kind of pain, significant growth or change rarely can occur. You know, you're familiar maybe with growing pains. I had them. Both my kids had growing pains. And there is that kind of pain that leads to growth. We want to spare our kids needless pain, don't we? We want to spare them what we call in our family stupid pain. We want to help them avoid those kinds of pains. But as much as we want to preserve and protect our kids, all too often when we're trying to train them, we sometimes swoop in and intervene and rob them of the good pain. The good pain that can lead to learning and to growth. If you look back on the lessons you've learned in your life, and as I look back on the lessons I've learned in mine, some of them are because of mistakes that I've made. Some of them come about as the experience, again, of just growing and learning. And so rather than teach our kids to run from all sorts of pain, I think we're better off if we can show them the difference between good pain and bad pain. And know how to face the future, to know when the Lord is helping them grow, to know what we're trying to do. You know, Jesus said that we're going to have suffering in this life. And so there's going to be pain, but it's not all bad pain. There is the pain that leads to growth. So as we train ourselves, as we train our young people, sometimes that training process can be a painful situation. But the other thing, in addition to knowing that it can be painful at times, is we have to know that it's got to be consistent. One of the things that is a given is that to raise kids and to nurture them the way that they need to, having them in church is a great, great start. It's essential. It's foundational. But 2, 3, 4 hours a week is probably not sufficient to yield the kind of growth that kids need in their lives. In fact, can you tell me anything that you can only do for an hour or two a week and become really good at or master? I read some time ago about the 10,000 hour rule. There's some misunderstanding with it, but I don't know if you've heard it in terms of athletics or music, but some researchers say that it takes about 10,000 hours to get good at anything or to achieve levels of mastery, whether it's a musical instrument or a sport or anything else. So again, if you want to talk to me more about that, I'll share more with you at a later time. But the point is, a couple of hours a week with anything probably won't cut it. My biggest concern when I worked as a youth and family minister in Central Florida was not the 4 or 5 hours a week that I had the kids, but I worried about the other 6 days and 20 hours. I wondered what's happening outside this building that's going to reinforce what we're trying to teach here in just a sprinkle of time. And so one of the things that the Bible speaks of, I love Deuteronomy 6, and I love the Deuteronomy 6, Ephesians 4 connection, but the Bible lays out a perfect plan for us in how we ought to live our lives. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This implies a couple of different things, but one is certainly that while a good beginning is being involved in church, again, essential, that alone is not enough to raise faithful children. It's something that we ought to have as a lifestyle of faith. One of the biggest differences in kids who stuck in that, out of that 60 to 90%, the remaining percent who didn't walk away, were faith activities at home, a lifestyle of faith, God talk in the car on the way to and from school, making Christ central to every conversation and approach to life, choosing a college, choosing a career, this problem I'm having with my friend. Parents and families who rallied around their kids to make Christ at the center of it are the ones who incidentally ended up sticking. But in addition to quantity, can I urge you to hear me on this as much as you do anything else? It's not just the matter, the number of hours that you put in, but it's the quality of that time as well. For instance, you could spend hours memorizing Scripture. Hey, Satan knows his Bible. You could spend hours memorizing Scripture, but if we don't understand it and live it out, what good is it to us? So if you don't hear me on anything else, let me encourage you when it comes to quality. Instead of simply memorizing God's Word for yourself and helping your kids do that. But teach them to love God's Word and to live it out. Instead of simply attending a church service, I encourage involvement as a family in church. Instead of pew sitting, participation outside of these walls. And again, you already possess this characteristic. Instead of being hearers of the word only, the folks here in this building are doers. Last item for you today before we wind down, and then this lesson is yours, is we definitely should train up our children in the way of the Lord. We know it's going to involve pain. Sometimes we know that we have to be consistent with it. But a few other tips. Our kids are fearfully and wonderfully made, are they not? God has a plan for your life and for mine, and He has one for theirs. One thing that's very important, though, is that you and I realize that our kids are unique individuals, that the young people in this church are unique. God may have a plan for their lives that looks different than your plan for their lives. And oftentimes we look at our kids, our offspring, our progeny as a cloned version of ourselves. But they're their own people. They are not us. And God might have a very different plan. So rather than, we want to be there and support our kids, right? We want to help them and share wisdom with them. But rather than leading them into our plan or our pathway for their lives, the most important things we could do is point them to Jesus and to His plan for their lives. I pray all the time in my life, even with my kids, as I have one that's an adult and one that's on the verge of being an adult, who thinks she's been an adult since she was about three. But in the words of Hannah's prayer in the book of Samuel, she says, "Oh Lord, oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed for, and the Lord has granted my petition, which I ask of Him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." And so they worshiped the Lord together there. If only we could have that attitude with our kids. We have plans and goals and dreams and hopes and desires for them. But the greatest dream and hope and goal and desire you could have for them is that they would find God's plan, and that you and I could help them do that. And to what purpose? So that they can serve Him. To point people to Jesus, to point them to a lifetime of serving Him. We were made to serve God, and if we're not doing that, we can't ever be happy, content, and peaceful. Last item is the process is ongoing. I was talking with with someone recently about the difference between raising young children and raising adult children. It's a very different concept for us, but your kids will always need you, by the way. There's never a time when you stop being their parent. But one of the things that that we need to understand is that even as we lay that foundation, as we nurture it as they grow, we're going to continue to make that investment in their lives even when they're adults. The process is ongoing, but it is so very worth it. And today, I'm thinking, I'm wondering, maybe you're sitting here and you just say, hey, I would love for someone to pray for me. I just, you know, parenting's tough. Grandparenting's tough. Having kids here in our life, in our home, in the congregation, who are going through difficult, it can be tough and it can be challenging. I just need some prayers. Maybe today you just need encouragement as you think about the lives of your adult kids or maybe your grandkids. Is it possible this morning that God has put it on your heart to engage at a deeper level? Somewhere here in this congregation or a ministry that this congregation has in the community? If so, you're going to have an opportunity this morning for people to rally around you and pray for you. Last but not least, though, for all of us, there's one little hiccup when it comes to raising godly children. You can't impart what you don't possess. We have to lead by example. And we can't model Jesus for our children and our family if He's not ours and we're not His. Maybe today, the most important thing you need to do for your family is to become a part of God's family. You've heard it said before, we're all children of God. That's not exactly true. We're all creations of God. But there's a process to becoming His child. And so today, if you would like to become part of the family of God and know more about how to connect and form that relationship with your loving Father, you'll have that opportunity. So if there's any need that you have this morning, we just ask that you would come as we now stand and sing.